Because whatever has been said and done, it was thus far has been beautiful. So hopefully I can just compliment this. How do you think I feel? I got a few moments to deliver this, and we have the Lord's Supper as well. So we're going to get through this. And the Bible says, out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God hath shined. Amen. Psalms 20, verse 2. Rather, Psalms 50, verse 2. Again, the Lord's table, be momentarily. We welcome all today and trust you'll be inspired and more equipped than ever to serve and to live for him according to his divine will. We praise the Lord for your life today, and that it's been a blessing. Today's subject, Christian friends, is heaven, that new majestic city. This is by no means exhaustive study. This is just a few thoughts just to keep us on track and keep us excited about where we're going one day when we leave this life. You know, I was told that a soul leaves this world every 2 seconds worldwide. And some 72,000 people perish in 24 hours. And either those souls are either going to eternally in heaven one day or eternally in damnation, a place that's called hell. Some sobering words, isn't it, to think about? And this is what all our Christianity is all about. When it all boils down to, it's about heaven, going to heaven, accepting Christ as your personal Savior. And this is what we should be talking about, the kingdom of God in heaven. We want to share about the new heaven, the new earth, new people, new Jerusalem, new temple, new light, new paradise. And that's where we're going with this message. I want you to turn with me in the Revelation according to the great apostle John that he wrote on the Isle of Patmos. And he shared here, and we have it divided up in the canon and the scriptures. This happens to be the 21st chapter. And he wrote, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth was passed away, and there was no more sea," King James Versions. "And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adored for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these things are true and faithful. And he said unto me, John, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Let's pause. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for your divine inspirational word, the revelation, the revelator of John, as he wrote these things that's directly to the churches and with an implication for us today as the bride. We would pray, Lord, that you would take these few truths and tuck them in our hearts, that we may more be acquainted with you more intensely and deeply, in appreciation for the love of Jesus Christ and the love of going to heaven and the love to see others going to heaven. We'll give you the praise in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. Beloved, this message is about hope. We need hope because I'm not getting too politically, but that both parties is trying to give us hope, but it's not working. Let's face it. Our entrepreneur, our triumphant hope is in Jesus Christ, because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. All other things are sinking sand. So this is hope for us. One day we can look, we got to something to, we have a future to look forward to. And we shall just discover some features of heaven based on scripture. And this majestic city is what Jesus once told his followers before and during his crucifixion, the whereabouts that he was going. It was a place of exhibiting majesty of the sovereignty, the power, and authority where he was to reign one day. You see. And he stated that where I go, I want you to go also. In fact, this should be every Christian's desire, every Christian's vision, every Christian's mission, is to take everyone and someone possibly with them to heaven. Are you doing that? Am I doing that? Because of the grandeur and the splendor of this place. You know, the Apostle Paul shares in his writings in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. He said, and some of you know it, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. This place, friends, is just too unimaginable for us to comprehend as moral beings. We could not comprehend if you went to heaven today. This is why we got to have an immortality body. Other words, you and I have to be changed. This should give us an incentive to make sure all our friends, and I'm having a field day and an unction of preparing this and a different awareness about heaven and who's going to heaven and who's not going to heaven. That's God's call. But I'm having a more love for people. This is causing me a better love for people. My question, flags go up. Are they prepared? Are they going to heaven? Is that person in line? Are you going to heaven? my relatives, your friends, my friends, church members, are they going to heaven? This place is just too unimaginable. This should give us and make sure all our friends will go there. And beloved, we should have an instrumentation. We should have a better appreciation about ourselves, a glow about ourselves. And you recall the Lord looked and took a few of his disciples in the mountain one time. In fact, it was Mount Hermon. You remember Mount Sinai, Mount Calvary. A lot of spiritual truths are on mountains. But this time, Jesus, he went into a mountain. And he took three disciples, Peter, James, and John. In Luke, we find chapter 2, and says, "And while he was praying, the appearance of his face became different. And his clothing became white and gleaming," or white as snow, as some translation says. Now listen to this point. This is the term transfiguration that took place. Simply means a change into another form. And I thought about that. Is my life depicting, is it suggesting heaven when people see me? Does it remind people of where they're going for eternity? Is your life exhibiting the glory of the Lord? That we should have be praying on the mountaintop. We should be praying on the mountaintop for people that our countenance proves that we have been with Jesus. We should be just like Moses when he came on from the mountain Sinai. That we have been with Jesus. Notice our text in verse 1 and verse 2. And John says, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth was passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adored for her husband." You know, there are sequences in John's writing in Revelations, and we know this event is beyond the rapture. This piece of scripture is beyond the rapture. It's beyond the judgment seat of Christ. It's beyond tribulation, the great tribulation. It's even beyond Armageddon. It's beyond the great marriage supper of the Lamb and the great white throne judgment. But notice the time frame here. In 2 Peter chapter 3, if you have your scripture, turn to that. 2 Peter chapter 3, starting verse 10. "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works there are there shall be burnt up. Seeing then all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye be in all holy living or conversation in godliness, looking for the hasting of the coming of the day of God, therein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherein dwelleth righteousness. This, friends, new heaven and new earth is created at this time, yet in the future. All things have been dissolved in this final judgment, Peter spells out. This judgment then have taken place somewhere in an intermittent location between heaven and earth once was. So this passage proves the promise of this new heaven and new earth is better than the historic Garden of Eden. Let alone the Garden of Eden. What can be better than paradise with Adam and Eve? And God said it was good, didn't he? Heaven will be a perfect place, not only where the righteous dwell, but a perfect place for all those whom has put their trust in the Lord. Mind-boggling. So we see here, as we get back to our text here in Revelation 21:3-4, and I heard, John says, and I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God shall wipe away, God shall be with them and be their God, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and they shall be no more deaf, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And God's people said, amen. If you got arthritis this morning, you should be saying amen.
Amen. That's all you got to do.
You got more. We have more now. So we see in this verses, it's with a great shout, indicates important words when God says something. It's important words, which is his dwelling place, no more tents, no more burnt offerings. It was the promise of a covenant the Lord had promised Abraham. You recall that all nations will be blessed by him, and that now this time is being fulfilled. They shall be his people, Exodus 29:45-46, and I will dwell among the children of Israel and be their God, and they shall know that I am God, their God, that brought them forth out of the land of Egypt. Even the Old Testament saints is going to enjoy this new Jerusalem, that I may dwell among them. I am the Lord their God, the Bible says. So this appearance and this eradication of the absence of sin, friends, as we know it, will be gone. Christ has paid that debt, and Satan has been banished from eternity into the lake of fire at this point. Death, sorrow, crying, and pain from the curse in Genesis 3 and in history, all has been wiped away. A.W. Criswell once stated, quote, there will be no stone cutters chiseling in glory. You know what that means? No tombstones. There will be no graves on the hillside of heaven. There will be no obituary columns in the newspaper. No funeral processions over the streets of gold, end of quote. Amen. And you know, in Isaiah in the Old Testament cites, behold, I do a new thing. Even old patriarch Isaiah says, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth and shall not know it, question. I will even make a road in the wilderness. That has applications of the kingdom, the great millennium, but there's still some truth in it. So in verse 5, God is speaking directly to the whole world as he says, I make all things new as the former things has passed away. So verse 5, 6, and 7 shares a glimpsing of the most beautiful things to come for the believer. John uses language only that was at his disposal when he wrote this book. But I think he's describing the indescribable beauty, like streets of gold, the foundations, the diamonds, the gems, and all the rest, the tribes, the apostles associated with the 12 layers of the circulating heavens that is laid out in that city. Its brilliancy and colors that would blend together and add its beauty. So I see my time is slipping away, but the church is the bride of Christ. This word pictures, as we find in John 3:9, John the Baptist also described Christ as the bridegroom because he identifies himself as a friend of the bridegroom, which is a parallel of, we would say today, the best man. So the Old Testament knew something of this glorious event also. They knew something or somewhere out of the finality of death, God will redeem me from the realm of death, and insists the psalmist. He said, he will take me in. He will take me in. He will surely take me to himself, according to in Psalms 49, verse 5. It was God redeemed us from death through his son, who gave himself a ransom for all people. Heaven pearly gates is open to all people, all walks of life. And I got to wrap this up, and I want you to just listen to Paul's information about this place of heaven. It says here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses chapter 4, starting with verse 16. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, starting with verse 16. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light afflictions, what we've talked about today, our light afflictions, which is but for a moment, the Bible says, worketh for us as far more exceedingly an eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are seen are eternal. Paul also goes on to say, we know that our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved. We have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. If so, that being clothed, we shall not be found naked, for we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened not that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon the mortality might be swallowed up life. Listen, now he that have wrought us from the selfsame thing of God, who also have given us the earnest of the Spirit, therefore we are always confident, knowing that while we are absent in the body, we are present with the Lord. For we are absent, I say, Paul, willing rather to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. That is our comfort. That is our hope of glory. And that is a forever hello. It was God redeemed us from death through his Son. And we are on the path, and we're marching to Zion, Christian friend. You be encouraged. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for a place that you have prepared for us, for prepared people. And we thank you, Lord, for that that blessed hope that we have, because you said that in my Father's house there are many mansions, and if it were not so, I would have told you. And we thank you, Father, that you made the provision for us to go to that splendid, glorious place one day, as we have trust you as our Savior and our Lord. In Jesus' precious name we pray, amen and amen.